Once again, we are indebted to the Almighty God of heaven. This is a great and joyous day and a wonderful day to just be a Christian. As I look out over the audience and see the number of faces, I'm always encouraging to see the friendly faces that are out in our audience today. We want you to know if you're visiting with us, we're so glad to have you. Awful glad to have you. Want you to know that you are, in fact, our honored guest. And hopefully there's something that will be said or done that will cause you to want to be back with us here at the Lakeside Church of Christ family at every available opportunity that you have. We hopefully that you would take advantage of that. I want to do something a little different today, and I hope you don't mind. I'm just enthusiastic about being a Christian. I know one preacher said that he's elephant elated, high and happy, and peacock proud to just be a member of the Church of Christ. With that being said, would y'all help me sing just a verse of a song, and we go into the lesson. I keep falling in love with him, over and over again. Well, I keep falling in love with him, over and over again. Well, it gets sweeter and sweeter, days go by. Oh, what a love between my Savior and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And he keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. Well, he keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. When I get sweeter and sweeter, days go by. Falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Amen. 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 So just want to say that I really enjoyed being able to sit on the pews last Sunday and just enjoy a message from God. Every once in a while, a preacher needs to be preached to, and I just really enjoyed sitting back and afterwards enjoying that wonderful fellowship we had on that Sunday. But all good things come to an end, and so we're here today to hopefully say something to you that would encourage you as we travel along this Christian journey together. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Most gracious God in heaven, again we come to you. We're so thankful, dear God, for your many wonderful blessings of life. We thank you for the privilege of just being able to call you our Father, Father God, and we're just so thankful for all who gather here today to receive, Father God, a word from you. We ask now, Father God, that you bless this spiritual meal that we're about to receive. We ask that you speak to our hearts on this morning, dear God, that we be provoked to do a good work for thy cause, and the reflection would be many souls walking out of darkness to that marvelous walk of light. This is our prayer. We ask in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verses 1 through 5. We thank all those who have taken part in the service thus far. And just for you, for lending your voices together, lifting him up in song. So good to be a Christian. Matthew chapter 22. I'll be reading from the King James Version. It may read somewhat different from what you have. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain man which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth another servant, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come into the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. This morning, I would like to put before you the thought, lost salvation because of failed expectations. Lost salvation because of failed expectations. That's one of the saddest things you ever want to witness in your life is those who have tasted the goodness of God and for whatever reason have become neutral or turned back and stand at the risk of losing their salvation. The Christian, many desire to one day when this life is over and this world can no longer afford for us a home. Many anticipate the heavenly celebration while at the same time taking light or neglecting or giving no thought at all about their earthly obligations. Paul, it is our desire and prayer this morning that we can somehow get all of us to see just how important it is that we handle our earthly expectations and our earthly obligations so we can take part in the heavenly celebration. Paul in Philippians chapter 12 and verses 2, Paul lets us know that he says, as you have, therefore, my beloved brothers, as you have always obeyed in my presence, he says, but much more in my absence, that you work out your own soul salvation with fear and with trembling. It's such an urgency that we work, continue to work out our own soul salvation. We must work until the day we leave this earth. God is good and he has an excellent retirement plan. But you must work. There's no early retirement. You only retire when you die. But until that time, we must work out our own soul salvation. Let me put this mic down some. That's not the mic. That's...
Okay.
I don't think that's that. Okay. Right. Oh, well. I hope we don't fire. But anyway, we must work out our own soul salvation. I want to give a fiery message, but I don't want to sit there on fire. But nevertheless, we must work out our own soul salvation, and we trust in God. We trust in God. We trust in God. So it is important for each child of God to work out, as long as we're on the face and on this time side of life, to work out our own soul salvation. Matthew and his account of the life of Christ. Matthew is known for writing to a Jew about a Jew. And Matthew puts to the forefront the life of Christ. He wants his audience or his readers to realize that Jesus is, in fact, the awaited Messiah. He wants his readers to know that Jesus is, in fact, without a doubt, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Matthew brings this out from the aspect of Jesus' resurrection. He looks at the birth of Jesus. He looked at his resurrection. He looked at the miracles. He even goes into the genealogy of Jesus Christ to prove that he is, in fact, the Messiah, the King of Kings. Matthew chapter 21 and verses 20. Matthew chapter 21 and chapter 22. Matthew is careful to bring to the forefront. He's careful to bring to the forefront the urgency that each child of God who have put him on in baptism know why they put him on in baptism. It is a salvation decision. Matthew wants us to know that we're just not checking the box when we obey the gospel, but we're making a personal pledge to the master to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling, not to sit neutral. Matthew 21 and beginning at verses 17. Matthew goes to the fig tree and he tells that Jesus had just shown at the lodging in the city of Bethany. He is returning him back to Jerusalem, and Matthew calls to our attention the fig tree. Matthew says that Jesus was walking back to the city and he was hungry. Being in the humanity state, Jesus was hungry, and there before him in the way was a fig tree. And it said that the leaves on this fig tree was green. And Jesus was hungry. Oh, what a better sight to see than a fig tree with green leaves and you're hungry. Naturally, you think that your hunger will be satisfied. As Jesus gets to this fig tree, the leaves are green, and Jesus gets to this fig tree only to find that the fig tree is not producing figs. The only reason for the fig tree existence in the face of this earth is to be producers of figs. But can you imagine the disappointment in the life of Christ when he's hungry, he gets to this fig tree, and the expectations, the failed expectations in the right situation, he gets to this fig tree and it's not producing figs. Jesus cursed the fig tree. He caused the fig tree, the leaves to wither and the roots to dry up and wither quickly. That's a lesson to us all. Because when we obey the gospel, our primary reason is to be workers and spiritual fruit producers, evangelizing the world. I don't know what we do in between, but we are to be producers. We are to be active members. And our primary reason for being on the face of this earth is to produce. Can you imagine how disappointed Jesus was when he gets to this fig tree, the leaves are showing? We have some members abroad, not here, throughout this land and country, who leaves are green. They look like active members. They're in the right position, but in a sad condition. They're not producing anything. They're neutral. And just like Jesus withered the fig tree, he's going to cut us off. Chapter 21, Jesus goes into a series of parables showing the sadness of those who are neglecting their salvation because of poor expectation. Jesus gives another parable about a man who had two sons. And the first son, he goes to him and asks him to go to work in my vineyard. He said, go work in my vineyard. And the first son said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. And so that son repents, and he goes to work in the vineyard. He goes to his second son, and he says, go to work in my vineyard. And the second son said, I'm not going. He said, yes, I'll do that. I'm going to go. But the second son does not go. But the first son repents, and he goes. He asks the question, which one obeyed the father? It was the first son who repented. And he said, the harlots and the republicans will enter into the kingdom before a man who is unwilling to repent, a man who is deceptive in his being, a man who is not living up to his expectations. He's going to lose his salvation. Jesus tells about the two sons, the one who obeyed and the one who disobeyed. And then Jesus tells about the husband, man. All of these is a parable showing that the deceptiveness of those who are unproductive producers of spiritual fruit. He goes into this other parable about a man who did everything. He tended the vineyard. He planted a tower. He made sure it had plenty of water. He did everything for the vineyard, and then he gives it away. He lends it out. He leases it to the husband to do as he will. And then the time come for the grapevine, the vineyard, to produce fruit. And he sends back his servants And he sends his servant and says, tell the husband of the vineyard to give me some fruit. But that husband, he beats the servants. He beats them and he kills the servant. And so he sends another servant and he asks him for some fruit. And he did the same to that servant. He killed those servants. Then he did something very strange. He said, I'm going to send my son. Surely they won't kill my son. I'm going to send my son to the vineyard. And he sent his only son to the vineyard. And lo and behold, they knew that it was the master's son, and they killed him. They killed the master's son. And this brings us to our text, chapter 22. All of these were failed expectations. And going to lose their salvation. And now Matthew's in chapter 22. He gives us as Christians a clear-cut warning. He tells us that lo and behold, there was a time the master was preparing a wedding for his son. And it was a Jewish custom that prior to the actual day of the event to go and send out invites. And the master sends out his servant and he invites all those who he thought would come, all those who were bidding, all those who he thought for sure would come, all those who was invited. He said, go tell him it's ready. I know they're coming. Tell him it's ready. And he turned him down. He don't give up, but he sends some more servants. He said, go tell them. Maybe they didn't hear you right. Go tell them that all those who were invited, who I know supposed to come to the feast, to the wedding, I have, and maybe I didn't say it right, but this time, tell them that I killed my fattest calf. Tell them that the wine is ready. Tell them that I went through extra to get the wine, to get the wedding ready. And they made light of it. And some went to them, value their merchandise more than going to the wedding of the master. And some went to their own business. And that's the way we stand. Some of us stand in the world today. We have more stock and more pride and more value in personal, tangible gifts of the world than we do being answering the call with the master call. We are baptized. We are baptized into the body of Christ, making the personal pledge that I will be a fruit producer, a spiritual fruit producer. I will not sit idle. I will be evangelizing anybody and everybody that I come to, because just like Jesus walked up to the fig tree and found an unproductive fig tree, if he walks up to us when time is no more and find that we're unproductive, what do you think he's going to do for us? But the story goes on that he said, when they turned him down, he said, just go out and invite anybody. Go invite anybody. Go invite the bad, the good. Go out into the highways. Invite all those in the streets. Do y'all remember this story sound familiar? Because at one time, Gentiles were not privileged to the gospel. One time, we was without hope. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we were without hope, cut off from the commonwealth of Israel, living without Christ in the world in spiritual darkness. But now, through the neglect and the reject of the Jews, of the Gentiles have a right to be co-heirs in the kingdom of God. That's a beautiful thing. We have a right to the gospel. It made possible by the sacrificial blood of Jesus. And so now, he says, go out into and invite everybody. To the wedding feast. Jews, Gentiles, the bad, the good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Just invite everybody to the feast. And so everybody. And so that's where we stand. That's where we stand in the world today. We as born again children of God are expected to go out into the world and evangelize the world. We each individually need to be fruit producers. This is not just the preacher's job or the elder's job or the deacon's job. It's everybody is responsible for producing spiritual fruit. And if you're not, you're defeating your purpose. You're not living up to your expectations, your heavenly expectations, and you stand a risk of losing your salvation because you're not a worker in the vineyard. Jesus, he tells them to go and invite everybody. Now watch this. I don't want you to miss this. Even when everybody gathered at the feast, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you can pick whichever one you want to be. If everybody gathered to the feast, the master came into the feast, the wedding feast, and found one that was without wedding garment. What are you saying, Jeffrey? What are you saying? I'm saying God knows our hearts. You can sit with the saints. Your leaves can be green like the saints. But God knows whether or not we are producing spiritual fruit. He knows. This man was sitting in the midst of the wedding feast, and the master came and said, how did you get here? And why are you not dressed in your wedding garment? Obviously, nobody else saw him not dressed. Well, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time. He knows when you're producing and when you're doing what you're supposed to do. And you, those who are not living up to their heavenly expectation, they're going to lose their salvation. And you don't have to. The saddest thing to do is to see a Christian self-destruct himself. As long as you have blood that's running in your physical veins, you don't have to self-destruct. You can be at work. I don't know why the fig tree was not producing fruit. Maybe a bird came and sat on it and misused it. Maybe they writing names on the tree. Maybe they carved it. I don't know. Maybe the tree was angry. I don't know. But for whatever reason, it was not producing and he withered it. I don't know what your situation is. Whatever the situation is, we're going to have to get over it, and we're going to have to be fruit-producing Christians. We're going to have to each individual take a personal stake in evangelizing the world. We're going to have to take a personal stake in being exuberant about our worship to God. He wants some fruit producers or just like the fig tree, and just like the man who had an unrepentant son, and just like the husband, he described the city. He described them. And he would describe us. We would lose our salvation because of our failed expectations. As I bring this lesson to a close, this morning, I want to beg and I want to plead with you on this morning. All those stories about the husband, man, and the sons and the fig tree is painting a picture of what God done for us with Jesus. God has sent the prophets before us, said, come to the invitation. God has sent the word, written word of God, and we rejected it. And he says, if you reject the word, they're not rejecting the word, they're rejecting me. When you reject the word, you're rejecting God. And then he sent the best that heaven had to offer, his son, to die on yonder's cross. And we killed him. We are no different from in the Bible. We killed him, but he didn't get stopped there. He made a way, a redemptive plan for man to come back. He said, all you have to do is, just like the son, repent. Be exuberant about being workers in the vineyard, evangelizing the world. I don't know how important you are in this world. I don't know how important you are in your community. I don't know how important your social status. I don't know how important you are. But if you are not, if you are obeying the gospel and you are not evangelizing and you are not a fruit producer, you're invaluable. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Because that's all God wants us to do. To be workers until the day we die. And then
we can enjoy the heavenly celebration. Because we would not have failed those expectations.
There's expectations that every born-again believer is expected to live under. And if we don't meet them, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about them. There's no in the middle, in between. We're going to lose. We're going to die. We're going to die and be forever separated from God. That's what he told the man when he found him in the wedding. He said, bind him hand and foot and throw him into outer darkness. And that's where we go. I just want to encourage you. I hope I said something to just encourage us that, and see the urgency for every individual to be workers in the vineyard. How do I make the connection with God that I should have? I'm so glad you asked me. I can hardly wait to tell you. You come to him by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He says, he that come to him must believe that he must believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to him must believe that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And then he is who he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Then you must be willing to repent of your sins. I don't want to live this way any longer. I want to turn around. They say make a 360-degree turn in your life. I beg to differ. If you do that, you'll be in the same spot where you started. But just take a turn from right and wrong. Make it about face. Make it about face. Repent of all your sins. Confess the greatest name. Be happy to confess the greatest name on mortal tongue. That's all you have to do. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to go with him in the watery grave of baptism. Be totally submerged in baptism. Go down. Go down. A sinner, come up. A Christian, live faithful to death. Go home to live with him in the city of bliss beyond this veil of tears. Watch this. No more sickness. No more arthritis. No more sciatic nerve. No more aches and pains. No more sickness, sorrow, pain, or death. The former things have passed away and all things are made new. If you do not fail your earthly expectations, you can enjoy a heavenly celebration. Whatever you're not, perhaps you're here and you obey the gospel and you just strayed away. You haven't been as faithful as you should. Come, let us pray for you. Let us get that off your back, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual weakness in high places. And sometimes we need our big brother who has already defeated him to help us out. Come, let us pray for you. That's what we're here for. We want to pray for you. Be it private or public. We want to pray for you. And then you can put him on in baptism. Whatever your desire may be, you can make your knowledge be known by simply stepping to the front, giving me your hand and guide your heart as together we stand. The Savior invites you to come. Why don't you come?